Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, and every single everything in The Binding of Isaac. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by a guy who sounds like he might be a superhero with lightning powers, the Batman of podcasting, Gary Butterfield.
Yeah, it's interesting how black has been associated with lightning because of superpowers, because of DC mostly.
Mostly DC, but like I did see a clip a little while ago that was like some black comic book nerd guys challenging each other to name a black superhero who didn't either have black in their name or lightning powers and getting stumped.
Well, there's Storm. Fuck.
I'm afraid Storm does have power over both the wind and the lightning, Gary.
Bishop.
Yeah. Boy, you're very... See? No one can go up against you in the X-Men contest.
Not an X-Men. It's the one thing I know. Maggot doesn't have lightning powers. Celia Reyes doesn't have lightning powers.
Which one's Celia Reyes?
From the 90s, she's a doctor. She's kind of the villain of the ill-fated New Mutants movie. She creates shields.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah. It's cool to have that knowledge instead of knowledge of more useful things.
Yeah, like, I was going to ask what your social security number is, but you probably know that, right? Bet you don't.
I do. I have it super memorized because I had to enter it for a job.
Oh.
When I was a teen. So I logged into the computer with my social, very secure.
Definitely, very much. You were working at the identity theft factory.
Yes. I never put those two things together, but my identity was thefted. To a degree as a, my dad ran up some debt.
Yeah, but he had it before that. Like he had the social security number basically from the jump.
He kind of owned me and kind of made me. So it's really, I guess, not theft.
Yeah, I guess you don't think enough, Gary, from the way you talk about him, about how much you owe him for making you.
Yeah, it's like if you create a Protoss unit and it goes and does something, like, that's not your problem. You created the unit. It's yours. My dad is playing me like a StarCraft.
I am not comfortable with how much I'm the coolest person on this call right now.
I don't think you're that cool.
Between the Celia Reyes and then immediately going to a StarCraft metaphor?
Say something cool right now.
Hey, I like to have a beer every once in a while. I was going to say something sexual, but I didn't have the... Every once in a while means once every 6 months.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I've seen it happen once or twice. That is true.
Yeah. You got to meet drunk Will.
It's more than I get drunk. So I guess I'm not beating the allegations of being not cool.
No, you're a cool guy. You're cool, Gary. You're still with it. You have a newsletter.
Pretty with it. I got a newsletter. I say old man things. I know that Bad Bunny is at the Super Bowl. There's some kind of Bad Bunny.
Oh, no.
It's going to be at a Super Bowl.
Ripping up the grass?
I think it's like a Banicula.
It doesn't mean it wouldn't rip up the grass. Banicula can still damage the grass even if he's not eating it.
Well, he's not motivated by it, though. Banicula doesn't hate grass, I don't think.
I mean, Banicula
is a demon.
Banicula
smokes grass. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, a vampire is inherently a malicious being.
Yeah. Human vampires don't spend that much time ripping up grass, even though they could. You know?
Yeah, but they, like, do, like, the human equivalent, like, property damage.
Were you a grass-ripping-up kid?
I'm going to need a little bit more context for that phrase.
It's pretty much contained in the phrase. As a kid, I like to rip up grass. I yelled at for it.
Gary, I think you need to describe the ripping up because
okay.
There's a lot of different behaviors I can imagine that could fall under that description.
When you're a kid, in my experience, not
I remember.
There are a lot of times in which you're sitting cross-legged on grass.
Yeah.
This would happen in gym class. This would happen at the Renaissance Fair.
Were you getting taken to the Renaissance Fair a lot as a little kid?
I got taken to the Renaissance Fair once by my aunt and uncle.
How was that?
It was an embarrassing thing. Pretty embarrassing. I was a little smelly kid. I didn't shower. I had, no one was doing laundry, and I didn't have the wherewithal to do it.
Sure.
So one of the town fools followed me around making PU faces for a little while, and it was on video. My aunt took a video of it, and we all laughed and laughed. But I would also rip up grass because, yeah.
Gary, I know that's a bad and traumatic memory for you. It's very good.
It's pretty funny. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that. I went to Star Trek convention and puked on the floor. Like, I was an embarrassing little kid. I was not good at it.
I bet that town fool is a doctor. Like to be that funny, to be that funny and sharp, probably like a doctor or maybe some sort of like professional class kind of person in their non-fool life.
Do you think they're the nefarious Dr. Giggles?
They're Dr. T, and boy, those women won't leave him alone.
No. But anyway, I would rip up grass and everyone, an adult would yell at me for it when I was sitting there.
Did they notice you doing the ripping, or did they
notice a huge pile of grass next to me?
Huge pile. Someone would walk through an area where you had been sitting. First of all, they'd go, "Oh my God, what died here?" And then they'd see like a big pile of grass.
This kid can't afford new clothes. They'd watch me doing it.
Okay.
And they didn't like it.
I would sometimes pluck a blade of grass to feel what God feels like, but not.
I do a handful.
Doing handfuls. Okay, so that's, just so everyone knows, if there is a serial killer in Portland who is gently taking one person out of the population per, let's say, week, that might be me. Yep. But someone going on more of a, let's say, spree.
Ambitious.
Or some other kind of fruit-based candy.
Yeah.
That might be a Gary Lewis Butterfield.
The trick is, with a handful, you get a very pleasing resistance, and then it goes away.
Ah, but when you pluck a single one, you feel the immaculate power of no resistance, simply yielding to your touch.
And those are different styles when it comes to everything, really.
Basically everything. I'm kind of a focused power player in all arenas.
Focus is definitely the word I associate with you most. Power is probably the second one.
That was an authentically shitty thing you just said. It was good.
I know.
Hurt my feelings, like not a not considerable amount. I was really impressed with it and very proud.
Thank you. You're welcome for that. I'm not good at focus or anything either. Ain't nobody I know good at focus.
Buddy, you don't have to. You can just have said the mean thing. You don't need to walk it back. It can just be a true mean thing you said about me, and we can both like it.
Okay. No, I mean, I didn't even like it very much. I just kind of said it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe. I'm just here picking up handfuls of grass.
Yeah, you're a truth teller. It's a Monster Blitz where we are genuinely talking about every single monster in The Binding of Isaac at least a little bit, and have been for the last 70 some weeks.
Yeah, and will be for the next 70 some weeks or so.
I mean, we're getting there, but there's still a lot.
We should probably slow it down.
Today we are talking about one of the best visual enemies in this entire game.
The Black Maw. Or it's Thanos's Dark Order name, Ebony Maw.
Sure.
Is an evil grinning sperm the size of an Isaac.
Yeah, with teeth.
Yes. It's a real like sperma dentata kind of thing. What a wonderful phrase.
Yeah. It's fun, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, like it's got a real, you know, I can't believe we talked about The Filth last week because we saw this guy coming, and we didn't mention the other major character in the arc with the big giant sperms flying around, which is of course Anders Climax.
Yeah, Anders Climax and Tex Porno are our two heroes here.
Grant Morrison having some fun.
Yeah,
good for them. Him.
Speaking of our mutual liege, whom we patronize, Michael Cooperman did a dispatch about Grant Morrison today in email.
It's not
super depressing.
Wow.
Yeah, because Grant Morrison said something nice about his work. So I got an email about it from his Patreon.
We don't know, because he follows us both. So I'm always worried. The experience of the Michael Cooperman Patreon. Michael Cooperman is a comics artist and writer who is one of the most brilliantly funny people on the planet.
Yes.
And who is also very depressed.
Most funny people are sad.
Yeah.
Like, this is true. They don't generally make it a Patreon benefit to learn about it.
Yeah. So his Patreon is about, I would say, 20% genius funny art. Right. Lately, he's been putting out just random comics. He likes to make up a fake comic and do a cover for it. And they're always funny and good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 20 to 40% is like some of the funniest comics you've read recently. And then the other 60% is you going, Jesus Christ, dude.
And it runs the gamut as well. You know, that there's a archetype of an embittered industry professional
mm-hmm.
that I would say that he exemplifies. And that's, you know, I get it. It does sound like he was done dirty a lot.
Yeah. And I would describe you as a bitter industry professional.
I'm pretty bitter sometimes, you know.
Do you feel like you're on the up and coming curve of podcasting at the moment?
I feel like I'm at the crest. Like, I'm riding the crest still. I haven't started falling yet, but I'm certainly not up and coming.
You're... Okay, this is you at the height of your success.
Yeah, and have been for a little while, I would say.
Okay, interesting. But do you feel like you're still getting, like... What was the last time you were invited on a new show?
Oh, I did Strange Studies
awesome.
Not long ago.
Great. Yeah. It was a genuine question. I'm just trying to figure out, like, because in the last, like, 3 or 4 years, you have certainly adopted a more curmudgeonly persona.
I'm nodding, but you can't hear it.
Yeah. You're not. Okay. So
I'm nodding. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it does feel like you're really lining yourself up for your descent into bitter crankhood.
Coopermania?
I don't think you don't have a kid, man. The kid seems to do a lot of it. A lot of it's about the kid.
I could complain about schools, but why would I? It would just be confusing.
Yeah.
If I was just complaining about teachers and stuff. Like, I don't know that I've gotten more bitter. I feel like I've had a curmudgeon reputation for a very long time.
True.
Like, I don't know if it's more bitter so much as bitter in different ways, but there's definitely been some, you know, bitterness has been a through line throughout my career.
When was the last time you started listening sincerely to a new podcast that you yourself did not create?
Podcast.
Yeah, because you're a podcaster. You're part of the podcast community.
I am part of the podcast community. I haven't listened to a new podcast in a while.
Go ahead.
So the answer to that is I listened to and downloaded a couple episodes of Guys, the Murder Brian podcast.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, this seems funny. This is my kind of thing. I like learning about this kind of shit. It felt like I was walking halfway into a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt like there were established jokes and everything. So I was like, oh, I got to start at the beginning. And then I lost steam.
Yeah.
So I started that, in earnest, wanted to listen to it. And just kind of ran out of steam.
It's bad to start a podcast from the beginning. They don't know how to do it then.
They don't know how to do it, but I've gotten starting when everyone just laughing at things that don't make any sense to me because they're running jokes feels bad to me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like starting to play Counter-Strike.
That's a really good metaphor, Gary.
No, thank you.
And I was thinking about it in the context of Guppy. The context of Guppy. We don't have that many running jokes, I feel like.
No, we don't have that many jokes. We used to. We forgot a lot of them.
That is true. There was a bus, I think.
Bus. There was brick in your Switch.
There's the whole ASMR thing.
ASMR thing. The seed. And then we had running bits that weren't jokes, like how do we improve this item? You know, how would you improve Black Maw as an enemy?
I don't think I could, Gary. He's
really good.
Perfect and beautiful. And then he's a real problem, I'll say.
Yeah.
So this is a upgraded version of the leech enemies, which are already problem enemies. Yeah.
Yes. Big smile and black sperm. When it gets on the horizontal with you, it's going to charge you.
Yeah.
You know?
Twice.
But it spawns those little leech things when it's not. And those things do that as well.
Yeah. So it is. It's horizontal. So it's a immediate attack. It is a creating like area denial and problems. And the kicker, Gary, like many things that are coated with this kind of shiny blackness in this game. Mm-hmm. When it dies, it explodes.
Like a real sperm.
Which is a problem because you were probably shooting it while it was halfway towards charging at you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like a real sperm.
Like a real sperm.
Yeah.
Like, can we make a game that is Missile Command, but we are tiny soldiers inside the wombs of the mothers of history's greatest monsters, and we're trying to shoot down the sperms?
Like anti-natalist Missile Command? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging out in Hitler's mom's womb.
Yeah. You can't tell me what's going on. I work for NATO. Like, oh, for NATO? Yeah. Sure.
Because they're secret. Because they're time-traveling tiny people.
Yeah. I like the idea of that. I could run defense on one of Hitler's dad's sperms. Do you think that Hitler's dad's sperms were stronger? Because they were going to create something evil, or were they weaker because his is a cowardly ideology?
Gary, I think they were just like everybody else's sperms that were then shaped by cultural and, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
They were shaped by cultural and environmental forces, you know?
Do you think they have the little mustache?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. Gary, don't be stupid. Yes, of course they have the little mustache.
Yeah, otherwise, wouldn't they're be able Hitler to see which sperms, ones were dude. The Hitler ones. Well, and also, like, the idea of there's only one of the sperms that would make a Hitler that you'd have to, you know, block tackle. If one of the other sperms got through, maybe they'd become, like, an anti-Hitler, like anti-Venom.
There's got to be a pun in there somewhere, like a cum pun for Schicklgruber, man.
Yeah. Seems like it.
But also, I think, you know, Gary, if you're sincerely asking me, I guess if Hitler had been born a woman in that era, would probably not have ended up a problem. Would have just been a horribly abused little girl.
Would not have risen to power.
Yeah.
The Anne is on the other Frank, as the expression goes.
Yeah, that is the expression, and it's good you said it to remind us the expression. And of course, we've talked before that, you know, Hitler was an uncommonly beautiful man. We've said that on this podcast before, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I think... we're getting into, like, this is literally the premise of The Boys from Brazil, right? If you took took Hitler's DNA and raised him in similar circumstances, can you make yourself a new Hitler?
Yeah. Is it nature versus nurture with the Hitler?
Oh, I like that because the words were similar.
Yeah. They're similar, and it doesn't rhyme, but it feels good.
No, it kind of rhymes a little bit. It's got a feel to it, yeah.
Yeah, a good rapper could make it work, you know? I don't know. I feel like it's probably a little bit of both with the old Hitler, you know? The truth is somewhere in the middle. I just feel like if we did our jobs well enough as those sperm protectors, as the catchers in the balls, so to speak, we could make the opposite of such. Like somebody who was so good for you know, Europe during that time, that we had our first, like, whatever the reverse of a war is.
Yeah, he would take his years of being abused child and build a different kind of camp.
Like a summer camp.
Certainly not one, like, on the scale of camps, not one of the worst ones.
Better camps. Have you considered that maybe the fact that he was such an abused little kid is because that bad sperm got in and made him a little shit? What if we made him more charismatic kid?
He might have been a stinker. It's possible. Yeah.
Sometimes, like, it could be Clifford or a problem child.
Sure.
Could pop out. And then it's like, you're not going to abuse him?
Yeah, Gary, we're on the same page here where some kids deserve abuse.
Yeah,
because
like
of how bad they are.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
Some kids deserve to have the phone call from their dad where he, like, weepingly tells them that he, like, took the money out of their piggy bank and stuff. Like, they deserve it.
Parent confessions are the fucking worst. I was talking to Kay about that recently. Parent confessions are so hard.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
No, it's very much making the child's problem.
Yeah. I used to get ambushed by those going to the bathroom at night. Like, I would get up and go to the bathroom, and my mom would call me into the kitchen. And I'd be like, uh-oh, it's mom's, like, 3 a.m. kind of drunk therapy apology to her. The worst. I moved across country, in part, to get away from it.
Sure.
Oh, man.
Gary, you took our fun thing where Hitler Youth took on a much nicer connotation, and you made it sad.
Yeah. I know. I'm tired today. I'm having bad brain weather as well. Hey, this is for listeners. I already talked to you about this.
Oh, yeah. Stuff. Well, I can check out.
No, you don't have to. You can check out. I was going to take a quick nap if you want to check in, though.
Okay. Yeah. Gary, I think we've got to do some improv or something to get the spirit up. So I'm going to.
Yeah.
Just okay. Let me improv prompt generator. Oh, God. Wait, hold on.
You know, incognito window?
Google suggested adding funny.
Yeah.
Start a scene improv. Help, I'm stuck. Please help me. Do you want a new line or a new emotion or both, Gary?
Give me a line. I'll bring my own emotion.
I'm sorry, but you can't wear that here.
Who says I can't wear this here?
No, okay. Gary, you didn't even do a funny voice. How do I know it's improv if you don't do it?
Who says I can't wear this here?
Well, sir, that's a hard... Fuck, dude. I haven't done improv in a while.
No, it's okay. Bring it back. Who says I can't wear this here?
I do. I'm the king of the mall.
I recognize no kings at the mall.
Are you a Muppet?
Hmm? No, I understand the mistake. I'm actually a Scottish Terrier. I look a little bit like Muppet.
Well, you can't have a dog in the mall.
Why do you sell dog leashes? And Lords of Dogtown on DVD at the Sam Goody.
Dogtooth, yeah. We sell Dogtooth.
Yeah.
We've got all the Yorgos Lanthimos films.
Well, I'm on my way. If you'll get out of my way, I will take my gigantic...
We have to stop. This is the worst. This is killing me. This is hurting me a lot.
Well, the workshop it. Tell me what I did wrong.
You know what it really was, Gary, is I didn't hit the fucking new emotion button. There was no emotion in the scene. Hold on.
My character had an emotion. He was indignant.
Yeah, that just kind of reads as Gary.
Someone was telling him he couldn't wear clothes.
It took a long time to find out he was a dog.
I know.
Because you didn't know it at first?
If we were on stage, though, I'd be running around on all fours and, like, sniffing your butt and stuff.
Okay. You would once you figured out you were a dog. But, Gary, be honest with me. Did you know you were a dog at the start?
I did. I knew I was a dog after I did the voice.
Interesting. The voice said dog to you.
The Scottish Terrier specifically.
That's really interesting, Gary. Tell me more about how you stereotype dogs.
Scottish Terriers can't dance, and they're surprisingly good at basketball.
Only thing about them is the way they walk.
Twitch-based muscle groups.
I missed part of that because I was making my my little music joke there. Can you say it again?
Yeah, like a little Phil Collins. I appreciate that. Filling
I like
in the
Phil
joke
Collins.
Little Phil Collins. I like Phil Collins, too. You know what I don't like?
Peter Gabriel?
In the Air Tonight.
Song
has the drum fill everyone likes, but the rest of it is real boring. It came on at the mall. I was actually at a mall recently. It came on at the mall, and I was just like, this is kind of a bummer. This goes on for a really long time. The verses of this are real one note. I don't think that's that good a song.
I don't know. That's a real vibe, though, walking around Lloyd Center with that playing. Like the world's most abandoned, second most abandoned mall after Mall 205.
Yeah, which is no longer, like, you can't go into the mall part of that anymore, I don't think.
So Mall 205 is not real, was barely ever a mall here in Portland. It's out in East Portland. And the only, for a long time, literally the only reasons to go there were the Magic Theater that Gary has talked about many times and the DMV.
Yeah.
And then they both left.
They both left, and now it's a Target, and it's a big, long connecting hallway between a Target and a Home Depot.
Yeah.
That doesn't connect, that you can't enter.
And you can't go through anymore. Yeah. Probably because teens were doing drugs in it.
The saddest period of that dead mall was when all the stores had left, but like one restaurant in the food court was still open.
The one little pizza place.
Yeah, you could go in, and there was like one pizza place in the food court with just like one guy who had been forgotten about, like one of those Japanese soldiers left on an island.
Yeah, just selling pizza to people who are either about to go in or had just left the DMV.
Yeah, just one captive marketplace. I think about that guy a lot. Like, think about that place. But that closed down as well. And then the DMV moved.
You can't keep a DMV there.
No. The new DMV is nice, though. I went to the new DMV to get my real ID.
Yeah.
And it was, like, fairly pleasant. You know? No.
Yeah? You, potpourri?
It didn't smell
good sense.
Pleasant.
Good scents?
Not bad scents. Like, the one downtown. The one downtown kind of stinks. This one didn't smell like anything. And I was able to make an appointment. So I just kind of showed up and did it.
They do appointments. You do have to do the appointments now. I tried going without an appointment to the Gresham DMV. I didn't recommend that.
No, that would be... If you can make an appointment, though, I'll always choose to make an appointment.
Yeah, if you would like to have a series of small, stress-based arguments with your wife, I can't recommend anywhere better than standing in line at the DMV in a line that stretches outside the building because you got there 10 minutes before it opens.
Yeesh. What kind of small little arguments are you having?
Just about anything. Just general, I mean, do you want to get into like what's going on in my life? Like what do you want to know?
Yeah. What's the most recent argument you had with your wife?
Maybe someone touches you when you weren't expecting it and now you're upset.
Yeah. That's someone, do you mean like somebody in line?
No, or... your wife.
Okay.
Like touches your shoulder and you have real sensitivity there. And like now you're mad.
And you probably talked about it before.
Probably talked about it before. And you're standing for a long time, so everything hurts a little bit because you're 41. Or maybe someone doesn't laugh at a joke that you made enough, and that's needs to be analyzed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that can't walk away from that.
Gary, do you want me to hit the new line button?
Yeah, give me a new line. Give me an emotion, please, because I don't just hit new emotion. I don't know how to react to that sentence right now, so I just need the emotion.
Okay, so I'm going to I've hit both because I was only half listening to your instructions because of the problems with me. So I'm going to try to deliver this line with the suggested emotion.
And I can't be indignant. Is the rule.
I mean, you can be indignant, Gary. It was just, my genuine confusion was, you treated me like I said the line, Where I was just telling you the line that was our prompt.
I assume that's what is the line, if not, is the line supposed to like shape the scene? I thought that's what an improv line was.
I mean, probably, man. I don't know. Hold on. This improv line generator is designed to help students start a scene instantly. It's easy to use. Put students in pairs and let them choose who goes first. Okay. That student clicks new line button, says the line, and away the scene goes. Yeah, Gary, you were doing it right.
Yeah, I don't know how else it would work. Like the idea.
Don't
of
touch
a scene
my shoulders when I'm not expecting it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just, you had a bug on there.
Okay, but yeah, but I would rather have a bug than like an unpleasant sensory experience. Okay,
it
like,
was a really.
You're the one who keeps telling me I'm autistic.
I hear you. It was a really scary bug. Because it had come from the NSA.
The National...
They're monitoring us.
Sexiness Agency?
National Security Agency. Security Agency.
Yeah, you kind of...
National Security Agency. It's a... And I respect your shoulder. Please don't make fun of my speech impediment. They're listening to us. We can't be bugged while we're in line. They can't know our mission.
Gary, that was kind of like, you know, there's the Simpsons thing where there's a character on TV named Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
In an episode, I'm not saying generally.
Yeah, Max Power. I do know that about the Simpsons. Yeah, you know the Max Power episode.
What if I was like, do you know there's this guy on TV? Do you know about this guy?
Yeah, Homer Simpson. And they're kind of weird.
Works at a nuclear power plant.
So he must be pretty smart, right? No.
You'd think so. It's actually a kind of a big problem in his life. It's responsible for a lot of the things going wrong.
A lot of things going wrong in the city and country. Everything revolves around him, and his wife is a fucking smoke show.
I can't with you, man.
There's some security.
But yeah, it was like if a TV show had written in a guy who was going to come in as like a cool NSA guy.
Yeah.
And then the actor gets there, and on the first, he shows up and goes, I'm Agent Cool Powers with the National Security Agency. And the writers are on set, and they all look at each other like, oh my God, this guy. And then that's who they're writing.
Yeah, that's exactly like that. No, I'm happy with that flub. I like security.
So you're saying there's this guy and he's got how many kids?
Well, two and a baby. And listen, the baby's not going to do a lot.
The baby is often superfluous.
And also, we don't figure out what to do with the girl for years. She's just a brat and kind of a lesser version of the guy for some reason.
The boy, you mean. The boy. There's a boy and a girl.
There's a boy and a girl. We don't figure out what to do with the girl for a long time.
Like three seasons? Okay. What if we get Dustin Hoffman in for an episode that kind of establishes who the girl is?
Yeah. And we had to contrast her. So she can't be a baby. She can't be a dad.
There's already a baby.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying we had to contrast her.
No, I'm refreshing myself on the premise here. There was already a baby?
There's already a baby. The baby's not going to do a lot. It's kind of a prop.
It's kind of, and then, every now and, can we maybe have like a stunt casting every now and then so the baby says a word?
Yeah. Yeah. Just to get people excited when they're not looking at the mom. Who I was trying to think of a good sexy name for. Since this is going to be, honestly, the main appeal of the
sexy
show.
Sexy names.
Vivacia Orgasm?
Vivacia
Orgasm's really good. Let me roll it around here. Hey, Vivacia.
What was that voice? That was amazing, dude. That was like...
I think that's our voice for our main character.
Is the man... Well, I forgot the name we came up with for him.
Probably something like really rare.
Oh.
Like not a name that people have usually.
Crump? No, shit. Eddie Murphy did the crumps.
We did the clumps.
Fuck!
But
shut up.
Pretty close.
Shut up.
What?
I'm saying shut up to you, Gary Butterfield. I'm out of the scene. Don't correct me on what the family in The Nutty Professor is called and then had a movie that was their whole last name. Shut up.
What?
Fuck that, off.
That's good improv.
Shut up.
If shut up is the best improv.
What are the crumps? There's the crumps. What are the crumps?
Well, these could be the crumps, I suppose.
No, I don't mean, Google, I don't mean the clumps. I know who the clumps are. Who are the crumps?
The crumps aren't anything.
They have to be crumps. Something. My brain insists. Stop. All Google will give me is pictures of Eddie Murphy in these various fat suits. I want the crumps.
You're getting the clumps and crunking mixed up in a beautiful portmanteau.
I was thinking of Ken Quek's ebook, Kelly and the Crumps.
Okay. Kelly and the Crumps. Boom, boom, boom.
In his second wonderfully wacky children's novel, Ken Quek takes a hard and funny look at teens beset with academic pressure and technology overload.
Ken Quek.
That's just his name, man. You can't make fun of that.
I certainly can. It's popping up with autocomplete to Portland, Oregon. Are they a hometown hero?
It's possible. Yeah.
LinkedIn,
there's a Facebook group for
Ken
the crumps.
Quek.
Let's see what the Facebook group for the crumps is doing.
Anything good?
Nah, man. It's it's all pictures of a TikTok guy using a filter to give himself a really big nose.
So I imagine the crumps in that point. Yes, yeah, so putting just the crumps, Google does say Nutty Professor 2, the clumps.
This guy's only produced 5 videos since 2021, and then his last post from mid-2021 is just one of those, like, it looks like a TED Talk slide or whatever, and it just says, would you guys like TC Moore?
TC Moore. There's a band called The Crumps.
And nobody responded to that post. What if...
Aww.
I have control of the AV Club Facebook page. What if just today the AV Club just wrote there, would love to?
The on behalf of the entire Paste Media family.
Yeah.
The Crumps, as a band, have 36 monthly listeners. Or 38 monthly listeners.
Shit, two just now? Growing so fast.
More than Modridge, I'm pretty sure. Good job, guys.
It's been a minute since I've listened to a Modridge song. You got any new ones?
We do. We have a rough mix of everything. We're close to getting that record out.
That's cool.
We have 4 new ones. There's a couple of them on the record that we've never played live, and we have 4 new ones we've learned since then because we got so sick of playing those fucking songs. So when we do our show, it's going to be the ironic thing that happens to the bands where, like, we should be playing the thing we're trying to promote, but we're all bored of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Are you doing a show?
We're going to try to do a show in November. Record release show.
That's so long from now.
We got to get it mastered and stuff.
Do you need me? I guess I meant to ask this. Do you want me to produce it?
I don't know exactly what a producer does.
They're the person standing behind the glass telling the guitar player to play more.
I think that is already, we've already recorded everything.
I think sometimes the producer works on, especially these days, probably does it afterwards too with computers.
Does the mixing and mastering stuff? Well, it's being mixed as we speak.
By who?
That train is leaving.
Oh, hell yeah. My wife is vacuuming right now. Excellent. That's exciting.
Being mixed by a guy named Crespo.
Would you like your... I could... Wait, really?
Yeah.
Crespo?
Crespo.
Is that like a company name?
No, it's just Crespo.
When you meet this person, he says, hey, I'm Crespo?
I've never met him. This is all Andrew business. Andrew deals with this side of stuff.
Is this Hernan Crespo, a prolific striker in Argentine professional football coach?
If so, many hats. I'm pretty lazy when it comes to the band.
Uh-huh.
I don't set up shows, and I don't deal with our professionals, really. I don't deal with our mixers and masters and mixers and shit like that.
Crespo, that's not Andrew a bad work. Looking man.
No, I believe it. He's a soccer striker.
You know? Oh, like the Super Mario strikers. I get it. Okay.
Yes.
Gary, I've had this. I've really been internalizing this this improv line and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay for me to now deliver it to you?
I thought it was the bug one that we did, but
you came up with the bug.
I came up with it being an NSA bug, but you said I'm going to do a line and emotion, and then you said don't touch my shoulder, and then I said put the bug there.
No, that was just a callback to the ways I pick fights with my wife when I'm anxious.
Okay. Yeah, no, we can do the scene.
What's up with that scary looking house?
You know, I don't know. It's just kind of always been there.
No, Gary, have it be your house. That way you can have like a real reaction about it. It's not just a talking about a thing that the
we're
going to
go into the
house
in the scene.
We were?
I thought that would be a fun way to go. Have it be my house. Okay.
No, it's no, Gary,
have
no,
you
that's good.
Teaching
that's...
improv?
What?
Have you ever considered teaching improv?
Yeah, I used to have a World's Best Coach mug that some students got me.
Yeah.
It might have been being ironic now that I think about it.
I've
got a World's Best Husband mug too, and now I'm worried about that.
Yeah. It's a least touchable shoulders though, mug. Standing strong. All right. What do you mean weird looking house? I live there. That's my house. I told you we're gonna I just got it. Don't be weird.
Just I don't know. I guess I like houses that don't look like big steaming piles of shit.
That's really
rude. I'm scared of steaming piles of shit. So that house is very scary to me. Inside of some toilets.
First of all, it's not steam. We have multiple fireplaces.
The same time in September? Oh my God. Way to kill the environment.
It's drafty. Second,
why'd you
not
buy a
shit.
Drafty house, dummy?
I didn't know. Hey, you're coming in real hot. We didn't know it was drafty.
You could have walked around with a lit match, which, if it was me in that house, I would then have dropped into a pile of loose rags and kerosene.
Yeah. Well, you've convinced me. I'll sell it.
Scene. Problem solved. Scene. And that was solved. What's up with that scary looking house? Emotion cruel.
You won the improv. I lost because I acquiesced.
Gary, would you like to rewind time? And boy, can you hear the vacuum? The vacuum's quite loud.
I can't. I can't hear my computer fan, but I tested to see. It doesn't seem like it's coming through on my end. I think this is where Discord will save us by just kind of keeping it out of the call, but putting it on the recording, so it'll fuck over.
Yeah,
listeners.
On the recording. So the listeners are with me. Maybe if I close my office door a little more.
What about all the way?
The doors don't really close up here.
Powerful metaphor.
What?
I said that's a powerful metaphor.
For what? Tell me about the metaphor.
Any number of things. The doors don't really close up here. It's lyrical.
Gary, I'm writing lyrics all the time. Don't touch my shoulders. The doors don't close up here. Your improv choice needs work.
Yeah. Immediately.
I would actually, if Modridge could write me a song called Your Improv Choice Needs Work, I would actually enjoy that quite a bit.
I can ask him. I don't really handle that part of the band.
You're not writing lyrics?
No, I am. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary, would you like to do your version of the scene where we go into the scary house together?
No.
What's up with that scary looking house?
You don't sound cruel there. Who give me a new emotion?
That was like a mean teen. That was like a mean teen. That's the cruelest thing you can be.
Okay, that's like a needful things.
What's up with that scary looking house?
It is totally trying too hard.
Cobwebs? Oh my God! What even is a cob, and what would it put in a web? Corn?
Good one.
Don't do that. You know I don't like that when you like. don't you like laughed at my joke for a second, and then you were like, but I want to seem cool. So you made it like a joke that you laughed.
We've been arguing all day. Listen.
Yeah, but you keep doing that in front of Frank, and like, you know, I'm trying to like tap.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's pretty good.
But you keep like doing like social negging on me to like raise your status. Did you like the Cobb joke?
I thought the Cobb joke was okay. I'm a little distracted today.
What?
I'm a little bit distracted today.
Oh, what's up? Oh my God, is it your dad?
It's my dad.
Did the surgery go okay?
The surgery went fine. It's just...
He won't wake up.
He refuses to. He just says he's so sleepy.
He comes out of the surgery and they're like, the anesthesia's all out of your body. And he just goes, so sleepy. Like an Italian man, and he turns over.
He keeps saying 5 more minutes, and he's been doing it for a long time.
He's hit snooze more times. The Guinness people are there.
I didn't know you could do coma snoozes, surgery snoozes, but he's pioneered it.
He's had them install a snooze button where you can just... There's also a fucking garbage truck out here, Gary. The universe is conspiring against my improv. Like, they've set up something where it just pumps a little bit more anesthesia into him every time he snoozes.
I think he's getting addicted.
He might be addicted, but also...
To snoozing.
Every time he says he's sleepy, it's in like an Italian accent, which I also think is problematic.
Well, you know we're Italian. I've worked
really hard to get rid of my accent. Yeah, but you're not that
Italian. My father's pureblood Sicilian.
Even then, the way he's saying, I'm so sleepy, it still seems bad.
I think it's because I've been playing New Super Mario Brothers in the room while he's knocked out.
Are you playing as Mario or Luigi, or are you doing one of the ones where it's like they can't die?
I'm playing as Nabbit.
Now you're playing. That's why your dad won't get up, because he's so fucking disappointed in his child.
He's really ashamed, so he's asleep forever.
Because you touched the super leaf, you new piece of shit.
Yeah, I keep playing as Nabbit because I don't want to die. I'm not good at platformers.
I wish your dad would play as Nabbit, so that he wouldn't die.
I wish my dad would play as Dad and play with me.
That sounded sexual. Listen, is it bad that it sounded sexual to me?
It's a little sexual, but we're Italian. It's okay where we come from.
I'm a so incest.
I'm a so problematic. Let's go spend a night in that haunted house.
Let's go spend a night in the haunted house with the corn and the cobwebs. Shit, Gary, should we? Holy, Gary, that scene was great. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. Corn on the cobwebs. We could sell that at Spirit Goddamn Halloween.
That is pretty good. Corn on the cobwebs. I'm trying to, like a spider that catches corn. I'm trying to think of, you could also eat that. Like I was thinking of candy necklaces, you know, that's just food on a string.
Okay. I think Spirit has big signs up that say don't eat anything in here.
You can eat, they sell lots of food at Spirit Halloween. I'm a YouTuber who ate at Spirit Halloween for a week. Says I. No, they sell food at Spirit Halloween.
Okay. I guess that would have been a funny premise to explore, but.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They sell snacks and stuff. You can go in there. I bought a soda from Spirit Halloween. It's weird, but it's just like, I don't want a soda. Shit, I happen to be at Spirit Halloween. Do you know, I like Spirit Halloween in real life.
Yeah.
It's impossible to find one. Because every time there's been one at a location, it shows up on Google Maps as permanently closed.
Sure, of course, because it will be and has been.
It just keeps spreading, you know, because they're migratory. They're not, you know, in the same business, same building every year. So the map is just polluted with Spirit Halloweens that don't exist. Phantoms. Yeah,
I think, Gary, you finally found one problem with our modern internet tech infrastructure.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. That's what Cory Doctorow calls inspiritification.
Yeah. Very good. Good pull on the guy who said coined the term as well. I don't remember that guy's name.
Well, he's it's really just he's one of our only Corys who is not currently involved in a boy band.
We have Corey or one of the two Corys, like the one that sold their teeth and died, or the one that is a current acting musician, Sideshow kind of character.
And did Corey Haim sell his teeth?
Yeah.
A shame. That sounds that sounds depressing.
It's some of the most desperate you can be. You know, because you only get so many of those shits.
Yeah, well, maybe, but they trick you, right? Like, early on.
First refill is free. Yeah.
Yeah, and they give you money for it. I can see how you would get to thinking that was like a steady renewable resource.
Yeah, 100%. We fool kids into trying to rip out their teeth for money, insidiously, like intensely.
You ever do like a crazy tooth pulling kind of thing? String around it, string around the doorknob, that kind of shit?
Slam a door. No, I only saw that in cartoons and on the Jackass series of films. I've never seen that in real life.
Those Jackass boys were teaching us about modern masculinity in a lot of ways, weren't they?
They were. You know, just tie the perfectly healthy tooth to a Lamborghini and let it rip. You know?
They did it with a Lambo?
Yeah.
Was Butterbean driving?
No, Butterbean was out there. Butterbean, he one concussion and out for Butterbean.
That sucks. Butterbean's like where I'm at, man.
He's a exceedingly charismatic member of the cast there. Did you ever do any tooth stuff, or is that just TV?
Do you know who Butterbean is?
He's a boxer.
Yeah, he's that stocky little boxer man who can hit harder than anyone else in the world or whatever.
Yeah, he knocked Johnny Knoxville out. And then Johnny Knoxville, his first words having a concussion on the floor is Butterbean okay? Which I think is very funny.
That's very funny. That's very, that's pretty good in the midst of having a concussion.
For concussion humor? Like, yeah. Funnier than I could be with a concussion.
Well, we could find out. That requires some A/B testing, bud.
We got to do you kind of get one concussion like in your life. Like if you start getting more, then it's a real problem, but you get one and it's basically okay. You just hang out for a few days. We could try a concussion guppy.
We should. It feels like maybe we should alternate concussions.
Yeah. I think if we both hit each other on the head with our heads.
You can't hit me hard enough to give me a concussion.
With my head? With my hard skull?
I don't think so. I don't think you have like the swing power.
Hmm. Do you think you do?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Huh.
I think if you tried to headbutt me into a concussion, you would end up throwing up into my mouth.
It's very beautiful. It's my favorite lyric from This Must Be the Place. Sure. I think I probably would. But I might miss. I might just throw up on your shirt.
Oh, true.
And then I'll have a concussion. You'll have throw up on your shirt. And we'll see how that informs the energy.
It can't make it worse.
Website? This is a rough one. I wasn't feeling good and funny today. We pulled it out. But I'll say to the listeners, I'll apologize. This was a struggle. I'm tired.
Gary, I don't think we pulled it out. And I think we did do a bad. And if you were laughing at this listener, you were wrong.
Yeah. There's some good bits that I made in there. A couple of funny jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just here and there, though. You know, this is one of those episodes where it's like, why do we do this for an hour? Like, what if we just edited down the best 15 minutes of Guppy?
Gary, this is getting too real and I'm feeling it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Not my intent.
No, it's good. You've been giving what in surgery terms they do refer to as a heroic effort.
Yeah. It was, you know, and they only say that when you fail.
Yeah, no, you never hear heroic effort on it. And then it went good.
Yeah, you never do a heroic effort and then make it.
Gary, I'm just gonna click new emotion until there's one I can feel.
Okay.
Hey! Depressed, number one.
Hey, there we go. I'm in a random emotion generator.
This was on an improv prompt generator, but I can pull up a random emotion generator.
Yeah, I'm on perchance random emotion generator. I got pity. Can I feel pity? Let's I'm going to randomly generate 99 emotions.
Uh-huh.
And see, I'm gonna go down these until I figure out which one. So I'm gonna go through these. You tell me which of these is the first one you feel.
Gary, You have to tell me if this is one of those fucking questionnaires the doctor keeps trying to give me.
No. That one you have to do every single fucking time.
Yeah.
No, it's not that.
And also, I put in pretty anxious this last time. They didn't even fucking look at it.
No, they don't care. It's this weird little like chart thing. I sent my doctor an email about anxiety and they haven't gotten back to me yet. I'm like, what?
This How's that feeling? Job.
Anxiety making.
I'll tell you right now, I have also put in the 99. They don't have 99 emotions in this.
Let me see. It does that. No more items in the consumable emotion list.
No more items in the consumable emotion list. And that it's most really of the t-shirt. List. That's yeah. a real feeling.
Yeah, no more items in the consumable emotion list is the most relatable feeling on here, I think.
That's amazing.
That's really good. Boy, I feel like I could come up with more emotions in this.
Yeah, probably. This is not My first one's lust, which I also don't necessarily count as an emotion.
Yeah, lust, longing. Okay. Humility, I guess humiliated. Humility is more of a virtue than a.
It's not. Emotion. The more time you spend around humble people, the less it seems like it is.
Yeah, but I'm going from Ultima virtues.
Oh, like in Meanwhile.
The Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yes. Yes. Where the ultimate, where the, it does, and all, but also, do you know the UFO 4550 or whatever it is, the old Choose Your Own Adventure book?
Yeah.
Where the only way to get a good ending or like to get the best ending is to just flip to it.
Yes.
And that's called Ultima, the utopia you end up in because you're like traveling around in time. And then in the book, Meanwhile, there is a full page reference to that, where if you just go to that particular page without like having to follow the lines, you can get to a place where entropy no longer exists.
Mm.
One of the things that happens when I'm depressed is I do a lot of binging compulsively of information.
Yeah. That speaks to the fact that you do that a lot, just kind of generally speaks to how often you're depressed.
Like, my wife thinks I'm autistic.
I know. The jury's out for me. I'm not sure whether I think you're autistic. But she probably knows
listeners?
You better than I do.
Yeah, I mean, she's like a special education professional.
Yeah. Text aut. To 5593, if you think Will's autistic, text not. It's Audi or Naughty. Our
Gary,
summer
we talked about
poll.
About Climax Bikini Coffee on here.
I think we talked about Bikini Coffee generally.
Okay. There's one in town that I keep driving past all the time called Climax.
Mm.
Don't care for that.
Mm-hmm. No. Also, Liv, my wife, was like, I would not wear a bikini and be around that many like espresso steamers and shit.
Yeah,
like,
no,
burn your tits off.
That's very true. You know? Gary, do you want to give me a guess at how Climax is spelled?
C-L-I-M...
Wrong.
K...
Yep.
L-Y?
Mm-hmm.
M?
Mm-hmm.
A-X-X-X?
I'm sorry, Gary. There's only two X's at the end of Climax.
You know what? That's honesty in advertising. Because there's three X's, I'd want to see penetration.
Yeah.
You know? Two X's, though, I just want to see a burnt tit. Like, yeah. Full penetration coffee, bikini coffee thing is a business idea we could start.
Yeah. So we've got us, two though. Business ideas here. We've got corn on the cobweb.
Uh-huh. And full penetration bikini coffee.
Yeah.
Starring us. The, yeah. There's not a whole lot of market for full penetration with, like, podcasters. Like, this could be the first full penetration podcast.
I'm thinking about the statement you said about there not being a lot of... I think this might just be us not knowing about what's happening in podcasting now.
I guess that's true. It is a really outmoded form. Like, it would just be streaming.
Well, it's just podcast is videos now.
Yeah. It's weird.
Does that bother you as a podcaster that podcasting is videos now?
It doesn't bother me. It makes me grateful that I got in when I did. When audio was possible.
Yeah. You and Kay should start just recording the video and just putting that up.
Nobody, like, I'm trying to not lose patrons. Like, I don't, nobody wants to look at us. Yeah. Even though I'm very handsome right now, but yeah, I make a bunch of dumb faces when I podcast.
Yeah. People would like that.
They might like bikini podcasting or like hot tub podcasting.
Gary, we should, as a, you know, we should try doing a video call one of these.
I think that's an interesting idea. Yeah. I don't mind that. I'll spice it up.
Maybe that's the fucking energy. Maybe we finally get some fucking energy.
Yeah. This was a rough week for energy.
What? Stop saying that. The listener doesn't need to know that.
I have a disease where if something's true, it's hard for me not to say it.
Be on my side.
I am on your side.
Just climax, my dad. Climax Bikini Espresso. How's it doing on Yelp? No ratings on Yelp.
You could rate it.
I could be the first person to rate Climax Bikini Espresso.
Do it. Somebody also should leave us a review in the Bikini Espresso thing. Like this one.
Yeah, Gary, if people enjoy the show, what should they do?
Good Lord. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV would be a good place to start.
That'd be a good place to start and stop.
Yes. And a rating or review would be a great place to finish.
Yeah. And begin.
And begin. Place to climax.
Like this one left by Bean Dip Warrior on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars. Pretty good improv freeform podcast with Binding of Isaac as a jumping off point. Hosted by Will Hughes. Talented writer for the AV Club who occasionally damages me like a psychic screw worm, and Gary Butterfield, a man who you can always guess what his word of the day calendar said. Did he just grok, just say grok in its original syntax? Did he just use the word druthers?
That's fucking brutal.
I genuinely debated reading that one, but I thought you could hang with it, and also you were mean to me a couple times today.
I can hang with it. It's just very brutal. I don't learn new words usually. I just, you know, they go in.
What would be the point?
Yeah. All the words I have now basically do the job. That's fucking brutal. Wow.
Should we get you a word of the day calendar?
I thought about getting a joke of the day calendar. Can be the kind of guy who tells jokes now that I have the mustache.
Yeah.
Like an energy. You know, I don't know.
But yeah,
I haven't done it.
How about we just get you a Far Side calendar? You never go wrong with a Far Side page day calendar.
Unless it's the new Far Side.
Did he do new ones?
They relaunched on Facebook a while back. This was before I left Facebook, so it had to have been quite a while ago. But there's like a new page. It was like official Far Side, and it had new comics, and they were awful. Like somebody has the rights to it or something.
Sorry, I'm just I clicked on the Far Side website and it was just Far Sides, and hey, it's still pretty funny, those ones.
Oh, yeah, there were some bad ones on Facebook. We keep cruising past an ending point for this.
I don't think so. I think we're still heading towards like the perfect moment, dude. We're still on a trajectory towards the first laugh of the episode.
That's so much pressure.
No, just Gary, all you need to do is take all of the threads that we've been working on, slowly building organically all episode, and come up with just one sentence that brings them all together.
Improv is like a haunted house in a coma that comes in your coffee.
Unless the... Fuck.
Sperm protectors created
the Nadal? Nadal. Unless Nadal's there.
Unless Nadal's there. Who stops your coffee from having the nature-nurture Hitler experience.
That wasn't it. Let's keep going.
And in addition to that, what is it? I don't have it up anymore. Emotionless not found.
No more items in the consumable emotion list.
No more items in the consumable emotion list.
No more items in the consumable guppy list.